Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our study on gifts of miracles and casting out devils. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to study your very words. Father, it's my prayer that you would bless the saint of God listening today, that they would be encouraged and strengthened in the spiritual things. They would be able to fight the wiles of the devil. Father, I pray that each saint of God listening would be encouraged and would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, let us not forget, if there's a lost soul that's listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ in his shed blood for the payment of all their sins and to secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day that they would call from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Father, we ask now that you'd have your will and your way in the study today. We can commit this time into thy hand, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to pick up and look at today the wrong solutions. The wrong solutions for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. If you remember last time, if you were listening, we looked at the solution for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. Today, we're going to begin our study by looking at the wrong solutions for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. First of all, we want to look at something called binding Satan and his devils. Binding Satan and his devils. A common false doctrine today is that believers can take authority over the devil and bind him and his devils in the name of Jesus. This misconception, sometimes referred to as kingdom authority, is built on the following verses. Let's first look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 12, verses 28 and 29. We read the following. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. We read the following. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. With respect to the verse about the strong man, and of course that was, we read in Matthew 12, verses 28 and 29, Jesus is using an illustration to prove a point. Jesus is showing that he must cast out devils in order to prepare the way for the multitudes to receive the gospel. Jesus is not making a specific statement about Satan, but is generically referring to a man of great strength. And the futility of breaking into his house without first subduing him. Luke gives the complete illustration, showing the illustration to, in fact, be a parable. Look in Luke chapter 11, verses 20 to 22. Luke 11, verses 20 to 22. We read the following. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. Be careful of erecting doctrinal truths out of a parable or illustration. With respect to the passages about binding and loosing, note that in both cases, the instructions are specifically given to the apostles. That's the context of those verses. In both cases, the context concerns binding and loosing sins. Now, let's compare another verse, the verses I've given you, with this verse in John chapter 20, verse 23. John chapter 20, verse 23, we read, Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now in Matthew 18, verse 18, the context clearly concerns sin in the local church. And the word sin is defined as forgive in verse 27. Both passages deal with the fact that a person can be declared forgiven or guilty depending upon their actions. If a sinner repents and believes on Jesus, upon the authority of the Word of God, he can be declared to be forgiven. If a person, whether lost or saved, is currently involved in sin and refuses to repent, upon the authority of the Bible, they can be declared to be still guilty. This is not judging a person, but merely applying known scriptural truths to a given situation. In any case, neither passage in Matthew has anything to do with binding and loosing devils. Amen? Again, we're looking at the wrong solutions for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. And the first one we've looked at is binding Satan and his devils. The second one is praying in tongues. Now, some claim that the way to break satanic control in a person's life is by praying in tongues. In our previous study, the unbiblical nature of praying in tongues has already been seen. There is no command or examples of this anywhere in Scripture for the relief of satanic oppression. Nowhere. Let's look at number three. Finding someone with the gift of casting out devils or a deliverance ministry. As seen, This miraculous sign was given to the apostles, the casting out of devils. This gift in its original New Testament capacity is not available in our day, as God has plainly laid out alternative means for us to deal with satanic influence. Although there may be certain Christians who have had experience in helping those with spiritual problems find biblical answers and relief, beware of those who start commanding devils to depart out of people in the unbiblical ways mentioned. Again, to remind folks, we're looking at wrong solutions for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. The fourth one, prayers, rituals, and sayings. Much of the current deliverance literature urges people to pray certain prayers to reclaim authority over some person or area supposedly infiltrated by Satan and/or his devils. Some encourage people to bleed the blood of Christ against Satan, as if these words were some magical charm that makes the devil flee. Some are convinced that pleading the blood will draw an imaginary bloodline around a given area to ward off devils. Others encourage positive confession, where saying something out loud is supposedly an expression of faith that makes the devil flee. Such action is very loosely based upon the actions of Jesus and the apostles in verbally rebuking devils. However, no commands or biblical examples of such is found outside of Christ and his apostles. Some are convinced that devilish manifestations can be the result of curses inherited from one's parents because of their sins, based on such passages as Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Let's look at Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 5, we read the following. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, they claim that special prayers are necessary to break these curses. Still others tell us that devils can be made to stay away by the continuous playing of Christian music. Sadly, what is not realized is that much of the contemporary Christian music heard today is nothing more than loosely Christian words sung to secular rock music that originated in the occultic ceremonies of pagan African idolaters. Some suggest that visualized adorning of oneself in the spiritual armor is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 every morning. They do not realize that visualization is a New Age practice that originated in Hinduism. We see that many factions of the charismatic movement conduct so-called Jericho walks around a given area, uttering what amounts to incantations in the name of Jesus. The so-called marches for Jesus are a popular modification of this unscriptural practice where the marchers profess to be reclaiming this territory for Christ from the demonic realms. Finally, there are some who believe that the only solution is the calling down of the Spirit, a formal invocation of the Holy Spirit to come and deliver a person or group. This is supposedly accomplished through the repetitive singing of choruses, interspersed with spoken commands. You see, all of these ideas are little more than superstition. The problem with all of these solutions is a total lack of spiritual command or scriptural example for their implementation. God has given us many sound, practical tools for dealing with the enemy. It is truly sad and pathetic to see supposed enemies of the devil stooping to submit to the very superstitions he has successfully deceived his pagan followers with. Let's summarize now, or before we summarize the study on the gifts of miracles and casting out devils. Again, this last part of the study, we've been looking at wrong solutions for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. And the first one we looked at was binding Satan and his devils. The second one we looked at was praying in tongues. The third was finding someone with the gift of casting out devils or a deliverance ministry. And then lastly, prayers, rituals, and sayings. Now, let me summarize the study that we've been doing on gifts of miracles and casting out devils. Despite all the talk about the joy of the Holy Ghost, there are many believers in charismatic churches today living in a constant state of fear. Not only do many wonder on a daily basis if they are still saved, but many who genuinely believe wonder why they cannot do greater miracles than Jesus did. Others exposed to a constant diet of the deliverance movement actually find themselves in bondage to rank superstition, fearing devils in the possible inroads Satan has made into their lives. Victorious Christian living is not a possibility for such people because of bad doctrine. Rather than accepting what Scripture has to say about Satan and his devils, they have swallowed what some man, group, or ministry thinks about the issue, with the results of fear, depression, and anxiety. Fortunately, however, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, if we are willing to accept literally all that His Word has to say. Satan's greatest tool is deception, especially about himself. The Bible predicts that Satan will be active in the areas of miracles, signs, and wonders in the last days as he makes one final push to deceive the world. Only the believer who accepts the final authority and standard of God's infallible word will be in a position to correctly discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, the thing that we have to remember is everything that you and I hear someone else say of a spiritual nature, we need to go to the Word of God and see if it's so. The Word of God, again, I cannot emphasize enough, the Word of God is found today in the Authorized Version, 1611, King James Bible. Now, you see, the devil does not want you and I to study God's words, because he wants us to take what some other man, or woman for that matter, has to say. But the interesting thing about the King James Bible, and we know that we have many translations, many English translations on the market today, but we need to remember that the King James Bible is the only English version where you and I, as believers, are commanded to study the Word of God. Did you know that? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read the following. Here's a command to each individual Christian. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The first word is study. Amen. And that command is to you individually and to me individually. Amen. Bible says we should be in church under good, solid Bible preaching and teaching. Amen. And we should be under the ministry of a good pastor who teaches and preaches out of the King James Bible. And we should soak up what he has to say. But we have to remember, we need to take whatever we hear, even from our pastor, and match it up with the Word of God as found in the King James Bible. And when that command says study, to shew thyself approved unto God, that is to you individually and to me individually. And it doesn't mean that you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and you go to your adult Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and that's it. That fulfills that command. That's not what it's saying. You individually, on a daily basis, need to study the Word of God on your own. If you're a saved, bought, blood-bought child of God, then you have the same Holy Spirit indwelling you as I have in me. And that Holy Spirit is the author of the Word words of God. So you have the author of the words of God dwelling inside you. And when you come across something in the Word of God and you don't understand it, you know what you're to do? You're to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's being said there in that passage or verse or whatever it may be. You know, as teachers and preachers of the Word of God, we can instruct you, we can show you how to rightly divide the Word of God. We can give you some basic tools, but it's up to you individually as a Christian to apply them. See, it says study. Study. Study does not only mean going to a local church and, again, going to Sunday school Sunday morning, listen to the preaching and revival meetings, guest evangelists and all that. It's a lot more than that. It's individually spending time with the book and with God alone. See, that's why I think so many Christians get tripped up sometimes by other people, by what they have to say. Or they can't contend for the faith. How can you contend for the faith that you claim to believe when you don't study the Word of God? You just can't do it. In fact, all of what we're studying here on the pastor study, you still need to take what I have given you and go individually. Yourself. Take the Word of God and see that it's so. Amen. It's an individual responsibility. But I have to say, many Christians are lazy. You know, they'll say, well, I went to, you know, I'm faithful to all the services. I do this, I do that. Isn't that enough? No, it's not enough, because there's a command in the Word of God that tells you to study. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't study, then you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed when someone comes to you, a non-believer or a cult member, and ask you, well, why do you believe what you believe? Show me from the scriptures, and you won't be able to show them. Why? Because you don't study. Amen. So again, I want to emphasize, primarily the pastor's study is a teaching ministry. Amen. And it's here to edify you, to build you up, but it doesn't leave you off the hook for your individual study. You may see something that we've covered, some of the information we've covered, you see something that I didn't see. Amen. Praise the Lord for that, but you're only going to be able to do that if you study individually with the book. Amen. With that King James Bible and with God. Amen. Well, it's really been a pleasure and a privilege being with you today on the Pastor's Study. I thank God for the ministry of the Pastor's Study. Remember, at the end of the broadcast, you'll be given an address where you can contact me. And again, all of these studies, and we have almost 9 years of studies, are available on CD. All you have to do is tell me, drop me a line, which study or studies you like, and I'll get it right out to you. And again, the book that I had published, Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense, is available to you absolutely free if you'll just write me. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.